Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com.
Frank Bodani, always right. Always a pleasure to have him on the show. Frank, welcome. Great to have you with us.
Hey, good to be here. Steve, I love your fire. I think it is good for all of us. And make good points.
Yeah. All right. So Saturday night, I think a lot of people were like, okay, let's see how this is going to play out. So what was your thought process going in, and then what was your thought process as the game did play out?
Well, you know, Sean Clifford has been the most resilient of performers at Penn State. So if anyone could handle being booed by your own whiteout crowd, it certainly would be him. You know, we saw it against Purdue with the way he could bounce back from a mistake, and man, did he bounce back Saturday. Best game, not just of, I mean, to me, his best game of the year, but huge at this point because Penn State's offense was kind of stuck in the mud a little bit. And now going into your biggest game of the year, I mean, they have momentum. They opened some doors on Saturday night.
Yeah, the tight ends eventually got involved to the tune of 7 catches for 118 yards, 2 touchdowns. In some ways, did the usage of the tight end not only get the big plays, Frank, but what do you think it did also for the running game?
I think it opened up everything. I mean, I've been waiting for this. You know, we even mentioned this maybe 3 weeks ago after the Northwestern game, getting those guys involved because, you know, the thing is, it's not like they just have one standout. They got 3, okay? You might have the best tight end room in the league and maybe the, you know, bordering on the country. So those are matchup problems. They're all athletic. They all can catch the ball well. And to me, when they were hitting those guys down the seams, it seemed to me all of a sudden, then the wide receiver's life was easier. Then the running game life was easier. It just changed everything to me.
Defensively, you know you're going to face a great challenge in a Mo Ibrahim. It would come into the game with 14 straight 100-yard rushing games. He did get to 102. 15 in a row, all credit to him. But he had to do it on 30 carries. What did you see on defense?
Well, I'm thinking Penn State played their duties, their defenders played their responsibilities and assignments better. They were filling gaps. And it looked like they really had learned from the experience at Michigan. And, you know, the linebacker play led it all. I mean, Curtis Jacobs maybe wasn't always there as a dominating force earlier, but I mean, he played the best game of his career on Saturday night. And that and him and Abdul Carter together are, to me, the type of athleticism and speed that Penn State is going to need even more coming this weekend against Ohio State.
They did put Abdul Carter and Jacobs on the field together. And with Jacobs out to the Sam, the field, in parts of the Michigan game. So it was not not the first time. Saturday night was not the first time it happened, contrary to popular belief. and I mean, all you got to do is like watch. What do you think that does for a defense to have that combination? Because it's a combination that's borne out through performance.
Yeah, I mean, they're two of the arguably your most athletically gifted players on the entire roster for their size, you know, for example. So to have them both out there, as long as they, you know, Abdul is young, you know, I mean, but as long as they are using all of those God-given abilities the way that is scripted, right? They're not trying to do too much. They're not trying to go against the plan. Then that's lethal. That's what you have to have. I mean, it reminds me of a little bit when Penn State played Ohio State in 16. Mm-hmm. Suddenly, Brandon Bell and Jason Kambinda were back.
Yes.
And man, did you notice the difference? They weren't just back. They were a force that night.
Yeah.
And all, together. And it changes. It seemed to me almost changed the whole feeling of the defense to me.
You know, what's interesting is going into the game, I talked with Brent Pry, because I knew Bell and Kabinda would come back. I said, how many plays can you get out of him? He says, geez, I'm hoping we can get 20 to 24 or 25 plays out of each. Right? That's what he's, you know, because that's what you're expecting. That's why if you ask in a press conference why a coach doesn't commit to whatever, and this was a private conversation, so it's nothing that we ever brought out in the air. Now, 6 years later, you can talk about it. They ended up playing 60 or 65 each of the game because they, maybe it's adrenaline, whatever, but it made a big difference getting them both out there. How much of Ohio State have you seen?
You know, I haven't watched a lot of long stretches in person or on TV, but I see the results.
Yes.
And I see the roster, and I see, to me, by hands down, the most talented, productive, best pass game in the country when you're talking weapons, because it starts with the guy throwing the football.
He's thoroughly accurate. I mean, God, he's accurate.
Right, and it doesn't, and I know he doesn't face a ton of pressure from week to week, but it just seems like he can handle it. He knows where he's going, and he doesn't just have one or two guys. I mean, he's got a plethora of all-stars to throw the ball to. I don't think, and it's hard to imagine. So what's so going to be so intriguing is that, hey, that's Penn State's deepest, arguably most talented part of their team is their defensive backs. And I think, those guys seem to me like they want the challenge, they want this. And maybe more importantly, it's going to be, well, can Penn State get some pressure on C.J. Stroud? Can they disrupt him a little bit?
Right. And he's been he's a guy, interesting enough, one of the key sequences, Penn State's up 17-16 at Michigan, third quarter. They finally got him to a third and six. They were able to get their sub package out there. Everybody's covered. McCarthy was able to slip out and get a first down, getting, 6 yards, 6.5 yards in the play, and got a first down, right?
Yeah.
That's not Stroud. Stroud doesn't run. I mean, and you watch him.
Right.
Even when it's open for him, he rarely takes the opportunity. He's an interesting dynamic because he doesn't usually put somebody in conflict like, should I go get him?
Right. So then, Penn State maybe has a little bit of an opportunity. I mean, I don't know what to say about Penn State's pass rush. I mean, I think they have the tools there. They haven't gotten as much pressure on the quarterbacks consistently that, I maybe expect or would like. But we're through seven games, and it's also the energy of the day. I mean, we go back again to the 16 game. Mm-hmm. You saw what that – I mean, that was a different level of defensive – energy and ability that night. Mm-hmm. And that's the kind of surge I think Penn State as the big underdog needs again coming up. I mean, to play for Abdul Carter and a couple of these guys, like, this is our next big step. It has to be now.
Yeah. The crowd on Saturday night, outside of obviously the introductions with Sean and so forth. All right. So that aside, the crowd and their influence on the game on Saturday night. What did you think just seeing and being a part of that on Saturday?
Well, yeah. I mean, I made a special trip into the student section before the game to experience a little bit of that. So,
whoa, this is good. Okay. Tell me more.
Yeah. So, aside from some guys asking me what major I had at Penn State.
That's a compliment.
Absolutely. But you could see it just, it wasn't there yet, but it was, 10 minutes, 5 minutes out. It was going and building. And so, I mean, just look at the penalties. To me, that's kind of says it all. I mean, one of the greatest moments, obviously, Michigan can't get their first playoff right in 2019, but right. Minnesota looked like it was going to be, from the press box, it literally looked like a prayer that they, at the beginning, that they were going to get the snap on time and everybody not moving.
Right.
And that's the crowd. That's the crowd, because that quarterback's a rookie.
Sure.
But I mean, that's an offense that's done it before, and that kid's talented enough. I mean, he knows what he's doing. I mean, and until you can understand what that's like, it's different than anywhere else. And Penn State should be proud of that.
Yeah, you're right about it being different than anywhere else, because Auburn did an orange out. Mays out of Michigan. Black out at Purdue. This week's a stripe out. At some point, there's. I think you have to. It's okay to have a come as you are party, but that's okay. You know, it's kind of a unity thing. I got it. But the fact that all these years it has become an event and it's become a bucket list item. What does that tell you about it?
Well, it shows you the power of community and continuity.
Yeah.
And how you can build upon it and how you it just doesn't go. Once you start building it, it can keep feeding itself, right? Because you take the largest student section in the country and organize it, right? It's right there for you. You just have to figure out how to do it. And it's not all going to be at once, but look how it built from the beginning to 05 to like by 09, it's a thing. And it just keeps building. I mean, even if Penn State is not, even if the whiteout doesn't come at the premium moment of the season, it's still a thing. You know, I mean, it doesn't change. It doesn't matter if they lost the week before now. It doesn't matter if who even the opponent is. It's something you want to be a part of. And everybody around the students feeds on them, right? So you just grows.
The decibel level got to 115 at one point, and Roger Corey had it on his phone, so he was measuring it. So I mean, I'm not going to pretend I knew. He just pointed at me and go, "Okay, I can read 115. I got it. Okay." When you were down there, did it feel as ear piercing as that number would say?
Yeah, and you know what? I left right before the opening kickoff, so I know it got louder after that. But yeah, when they finally started to do something together, you couldn't hear anything around you, nothing around you. And the thing is, that's not the loudest that we've heard at the White House. I mean, I would argue to say there's been louder ones. That's nothing against the crowd, but I mean, that just shows you with how loud you just described that. I mean, it can even be more than that, which is almost hard to fathom. And how a credit to Penn State, because Penn State's not the only big stadium around, right? The only powerhouse team around. Other schools really haven't been able to match it. Not just the sight of it, but what you're describing, the whole feel of it, the noise consistency of it. So, yeah, tremendous. I mean, you got to go to one, right?
That's exactly. It's a bucket list for a lot of people who say it's a bucket list. They want to go. Hey, Frank, a bucket list for us to have you on. So thank you so much,
thanks.
As always. Thank you for your time. Appreciate your analysis.
Yeah, look forward to seeing you Saturday.
Same here, Frank.
Take care.
Thanks, my friend. Frank Bodanning.